This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of the World Wide Wave on joy.org.au.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the World Wide Wave.
Yes, it's your weekly wrap-up of international LGBT news and current affairs here, World Wide Wave. We take you around the globe, one country at a time. Joining me in the studio, Damien's here.
Hi.
G'day, Dean.
G'day, Matt.
And yes, I am Matt. In our genuine and good-hearted attempts to be inclusive, sometimes grouping the LGB and T community as one actually creates some problems. Some groups are more visible and have greater representation than others, and in some countries, women are already starting from a lower point in terms of rights before we add sexuality to the mix.
What different types of discrimination that women face are amplified when we look at lesbians?
Where in the world are lesbian rights actually going backwards?
And what is stopping greater visibility for bisexual women? To tell us about their latest report titled Breaking the Silence, Criminalisation of Lesbians and Bisexual Women and Its Impacts, tonight we speak with Taya Braun, Legal Director at Human Dignity Trust, a pro bono organisation comprised of international lawyers providing legal advice to people in countries where homosexuality or bisexuality is illegal. Here's a taste of what you've got coming up tonight.
While there are certain social impacts that affect the entire LGBT community, we often just group LGBT people together, and rightly so in many ways, because the impacts are the same regardless of who you are within that broader community. In addition, there are certain unique ways that different members of the community are affected. So for lesbian and bisexual women, there's often, for instance, what we call intersectionality between their sex and their sexual orientation.
Worldwide Wrap, LGBT news from around the world, scanning the globe for stories for the diverse gay and lesbian communities from Australia's Joy 94.9. This is the Worldwide Wrap.
Last week we started Wrap with some good news for the LGBT community in Uganda, and this week we are again starting with Uganda, but the news is definitely not good. Now, last Thursday, the police raided the popular Mr. and Mrs. Pride pageant. Hundreds of people were detained inside the Venom nightclub in Uganda's capital of Kampala. Police reportedly claimed they had been told a gay wedding was taking place.
The gay wedding defence.
And they claimed that the celebration was unlawful because they had not been informed. Although organisers of Gay Pride Week, this is Uganda's fifth ever, said
they... Let's just pause for a minute there. Uganda, this country with these horribly repressive laws, have had five pride events. That's more than some other countries around the world.
It's tough for them, but they're giving it a damn good try, that's for sure. And they said they had informed the police, and two prior pride events had already taken place earlier in the week without incident, so seems to bear out the organisers' claims there.
Well, I wonder if informing the police would have been, you know, an invitation to a gay wedding.
Look, I believe
how they'd respond to that.
Well, is that their only kind of objection, that the police weren't notified?
Well, the objection is that they're gay and that they're being uppity by actually existing. That's pretty much what it is. Let's be honest here. Uganda has a bit of a reputation. So one young man jumped from the fourth floor of the building in fear and was hospitalised. This was reported by the Kuchu Times, which is an African news platform which focuses on LGBTI issues. Now, organisers claim that the police locked the gates of the club. They arrested more than 16 people, mostly Ugandan gay rights activists, and detained the rest of the attendees for over 90 minutes. Now, the police have been accused of beating people, taking pictures of LGBT Ugandans and threatening to publish them, and confiscating phones and cameras so they could delete the photos of the police beating these people.
Of course.
Eyewitnesses reported several people, in particular trans women and trans men, being sexually assaulted by police. By approximately 1:20 a.m, all arrestees had been released from the police station, but none had been charged with any offence. Now, Uganda's annual Pride event was at risk of not going ahead, as the funds could not be secured, but over 2,500 members of the activist group All Out donated to fund the week's events.
But unfortunately, this latest piece of heightened violence against the LGBT community has resulted in the cancellation of the Pride parade in Uganda.
Exactly. And the minister has threatened to, police minister has threatened to mobilise a mob and a large police group to beat up anyone who shows up for Pride. So Pride Parade was cancelled. Now, the Anti-Homosexuality Act originally had death penalty clauses, but was ruled invalid by Uganda's Supreme Court in 2014, but same-sex relationships remain illegal. Moving on to some more bad news.
Yeah, I hate to say it, more bad news this time from Iran, which is probably not surprising, but and a bit of a trigger warning here. A gay Iranian teenager was hanged in Arak's prison in the past week. Amnesty International have condemned the execution as proof of the country's, quote, sickening enthusiasm for putting juveniles to death. And, hey, we've had our fair share of violence against juveniles here in Australia, but Amnesty says this pretty much knows no bounds. The youth, age 17, was charged with raping another boy. His family said it was consensual. That's rather a moot point, though, in Iran. And if the boy hadn't have called it rape and instead have called it consensual sex, he too could have faced the death penalty. So it's one of those situations.
So it's not really a moot point. It's actually quite an important point, because if you say it was consensual, then you're actually signing up for the death penalty.
Well, in Iran, men and boys who engage in same-sex anal intercourse face different punishments depending on whether they're the top or the bottom. Courts also consider whether their conduct is consensual or non-consensual. So if it's consensual, the bottom faces a death sentence and the top is sentenced to death only if he's married or if he's not a Muslim and the passive partner is a Muslim. If the intercourse is deemed non-consensual, the top receives the death penalty, but the bottom is exempt from punishment and treated as a victim.
It's all a bit crazy to me. Moving over to Indonesia, where the Constitutional Court is reportedly taking steps to consider whether or not gay sex should be criminalised after accepting a judicial review petition from the so-called Family Love Alliance.
Oh, they sound great.
Yes, who are a group of Islamic activists.
Who would have thought?
Rita Hendriwati, chairwoman of the Family Love Alliance, says they are not trying to criminalise LGBT people.
Oh, that's great.
However, this is what she said, so you can work out what she means, because I still haven't worked it out. She says, the real reason is so that we have much clearer norms. We are not intending to criminalise those who have deviant sexual orientation. That is not the point. They can be free to live, but do not show what is their lifestyle. End quote.
So currently homosexuality is not illegal. They're looking to criminalise it and actually go backwards. There's a great podcast with Dee Dee from Indonesia on our website, joy.org.au. And some late-breaking news. I don't know if you caught this one this afternoon, but you know how Australia won gold at the Rugby Sevens in the Olympics?
No, but go on.
They did. So Australia won gold. Well, just after the ceremony, all these TV cameras all around, one of the Brazilian players' girlfriends proposed to her and she accepted. So the world's media has gone crazy at two lesbian women, rugby, one's a rugby player at the Olympics, who proposed and said yes.
Splendid. Great news. Now, in brief, in the USA, Delta Airlines is showing the Oscar-nominated lesbian-themed movie Carol with all the same-sex kissing removed.
Oh. In the UK, the High Court has overturned the National Health Service decision not to commission HIV-preventing PrEP drugs.
And China has held the country's first ever Mr. Gay competition after a previous attempt to stage the competition in 2010 was shut down. And that's a wrap.
That's your Worldwide Wrap. Keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, Worldwide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Hello and goedenavond. This is Elko, listening in from the Netherlands on Worldwide Wave, the latest LGBT news and current affairs on joy.org.au.
We're talking about the rights of lesbian and bisexual women. We've got great guests coming up.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
Thought we'd start talking a bit more about bisexuality, because it's not something that even we cover enough of. When you talk about LGBT, there's a lot more L and G, fair amount of T and B.
And the other thing is that the L and the G, they're pretty clear cut, but the B is a bit different. It's got more than one definition.
But is that actually one of the issues as to why people don't understand? So yeah, we're talking about a romantic or sexual attraction,
and
sexual behaviour, and or, of all those, between both men and women. So it can be romantic, can be just sexual. Doesn't necessarily equate to sexual attraction. And the term was coined at around the same time, early 19th century, when homosexuality and heterosexuality were formed, I guess, as concepts. There was a research project undertaken by healthresearchfunding.org. 13% of women between the ages of 18 and 44 say they are attracted to both sexes.
That's pretty significant.
That's quite a reasonable number. Most bisexuals will not tell somebody about their sexual orientation until at least the age of 20.
And September 23 is known as Celebrate Bisexuality Day.
Which is all about raising, you know, visibility for bisexuals.
That's coming up.
Yeah, indeed. There was a, we found some information or some more comments, personal comments. Why, we were trying to investigate, well, why is bisexuality lower in profile than the L, the G and the B and the T? There was a survey, anonymous survey undertaken by an app called Whisper, and they generated a lot of comments from...
This is what people actually
members,
said.
Their actual quotes. There were sort of a few themes that came out. One talked about people don't take you seriously. They either think you're a cheater or a swinger. You're sort of in the middle. We don't know where you are, so therefore we're not really that trusting.
Do you think it's that uncertainty that I can't just pigeonhole you?
Oh, that's definitely a part of it.
So, like, today you're with a guy, you're straight, tomorrow you're with a woman, you're lesbian. It's like, oh, I'm confused, this doesn't work for me. Is that,
yep, do you think... you're not in a box.
You're in two boxes. Well, potentially more, but...
Indeed. Several users of this app said they were made to feel inferior by lesbians because they confess their attraction to men. And this theme of you're not a real queer tended to come through a lot in their comments as well. So, it's this... discrimination from
both,
the gay community.
From everywhere,
well, from
basically.
Both sides, yeah.
Dilettantes. That's it. Just dabbling. One Any more... moment they can get married and have the picket fence and the 2.4 kids. That's,
I mean,
the attitude.
I think that says more about the person doing the judging than the person they're judging, personally.
Oh, agreed. I'm not saying this is my view, but that's I think that's where it comes from.
There was another really strong theme there about coming out. Some people spoke about double coming out. So you're having to explain, you know, to straight people and to gay people, but also this idea of how you explain this to your parents, much trickier than if you are in a box. We are going to explore all this and more and the discrimination that bisexual and lesbian women face tonight on World Wide Wave.
I am Bisi Alimi and I'm fighting for rights of LGBT people in Nigeria on the World Wide Wave.
So we're just saying the LG and the T are quite pronounced and the B is more silent. Now, a report has just been released looking at the rights of lesbian and bisexual women, and they are seeking to change that. The report titled Breaking the Silence, Criminalisation of Lesbians and Bisexual Women and Its Impacts. It was prepared by the UK's Human Dignity Trust. We asked legal director Taya Braun how the report came about.
Well, my organization works on the issue of persecution of LGBT people globally, in particular the issue of criminalization of same-sex sexual relationships. And through that work, one thing that has become apparent is that often when we're discussing LGBT persecution and criminalization in particular, there's a much greater focus on the issues faced by gay men, gay or bisexual men, and the wider implications and context of others in the LGBT community are not necessarily as well understood or as discussed. And so we decided to look at what research is out there and what is known out there about how the different constituent members of the LGBTQ community, and particularly the issues that are faced by lesbian and bisexual women, are among the least understood and the least researched, and there's the least amount of data and information on. And it seemed important to us to try and crack that a bit and make sure that the issues faced by lesbian and bisexual women, and indeed of all of the different constituent members of the community, are not rendered invisible by virtue of there being a certain focus. So, for instance, we know a lot about the situation of HIV and the ways that criminal laws against LGBT relationships have fostered and perpetuated the HIV crisis within the MSM community. And of course, that's a good thing. And there's been a significant amount of funding globally going into trying to address those issues. Less understood is to what extent are women impacted, whether in respect of health or in respect of just fundamental human rights or indeed the very existence of criminal laws affecting them. So we wanted to make sure that women weren't being invisibilized through the global research and legal advocacy efforts. So this report really pulls together information from around the world to the extent it exists and analyzes to what extent are women criminalized, because it's not necessarily the same for women and men in different countries. And regardless of the status of criminalization, how are women affected differently than men may be? And to make sure that those issues are also being addressed on a global stage.
Taya Braun from Human Dignity Trust. While there have been significant advances in LGBT rights, coming up, Taya tells us where the rights have gone backwards for lesbian and bisexual women on the World Wide Wave.
Hi, my name is Hope Matumbu from the Multicultural Health and Support Service, and you're listening to the World Wide Wave.
It's World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. Tonight, we're looking at lesbian and bisexual women's rights. One of the findings of Human Dignity Trust report was that there are about 10 countries that have recently added new criminal sanctions against lesbians. And we asked Taya, what is driving this change, and is there something that these countries have in common?
Well, I think the starting point is that many of these laws originated from Britain during the colonial period. The laws originate either from British colonialism, as opposed to the other European colonizing countries, or from Sharia law. Those are the two main sources. And if we look at the British origins, Britain only criminalized men. It never criminalized women. There was an attempt in 1921, I think it was, to add women, but that never passed through Parliament. So the origins of the laws were focused on male relationships. But the way they ended up being spread around at different points in history, it didn't necessarily retain that focus. They were worded differently at different points. But in terms of the more recent developments in the last 30 years or so, at least 10 countries have specifically amended those British colonial laws to include women. It seems to be, in some instances, it was simply out of a attempt to equalize the laws, to make sure that there was not an argument that the laws were discriminatory and that they only applied to men and didn't apply to women. So it was an attempt to sort of further protect the laws from challenge on arguments that they were somehow discriminatory. And of course, the laws are discriminatory regardless of how they're framed. So that was part of it. But also, in many countries, there seems to be a growing awareness of homosexuality generally. And in those countries where there are still very strong homophobic cultural and societal views, there is a greater attempt to make sure that all people are being captured and that the laws and the enforcement of the laws is capturing not just men, but women as well. And in some countries, indeed, women have become greater targets. They're more visible, perhaps, than they were in earlier decades and centuries. Their rights and you know, the discussion about homosexuality or sexual orientation and gender identity generally is much more prevalent now. So in those countries where they're determined to maintain these laws, there are efforts to make sure that everybody is captured by them.
Let's talk about some of the social impacts of women who have sex with women. What are the kinds of discrimination or, I guess, social stigma did you uncover for this group?
That indeed was one of the purposes, was to look at, because I think what we realized and what we wanted to make sure was discussed more was that while there are certain social impacts that affect the entire LGBT community, and that's the way in which those social impacts are often discussed, we often just group LGBT people together, and rightly so in many ways, because the impacts are the same regardless of who you are within that broader community. In addition to the generalized ways in which the entire LGBT community is impacted by these types of laws, there are certain unique ways that different members of the community are affected. So for lesbian and bisexual women, there's often, for instance, what we call intersectionality between their sex and their sexual orientation. And that can create a certain type of vulnerability to human rights abuse and social impacts. So simply by being a woman, in many countries, there are different types of human rights violations and social pressures and marginalization that occur. If you add to that being a lesbian or bisexual woman, you have this double form of discrimination. So women in many countries are, for instance, economically dependent on men. They don't have the same economic rights. They don't have the same political rights and roles. And by being economically dependent on men as a lesbian and bisexual woman, you are much more likely to be pressured into a heterosexual marriage. You're also much more likely to carry a particular burden of forming a traditional family, having children within that traditional family. You may be much less likely to have control over your sexuality and your sexual and reproductive choices in life. There are also certain types of violence that are not unique to, but certainly disproportionately faced by women, such as so-called corrective rape, where perpetrators attempt to cure the homosexuality of a woman through rape. And often that is initiated through family members. It's not necessarily strangers or community members. A lot of the types of violence or pressures or control for women also happen within the private sphere, and that's true of all women, whereas the human rights violations of men may more be visible in the public sphere.
Bisexuals in general, and I guess more particularly bisexual women, tend to struggle to gain recognition and profile. Why was it important for you that bisexual women were included in this project?
Yes, for that very reason. I mean, even to the extent that we can pull out information globally about lesbian and bisexual women, there is significantly less that is specifically addressed at bisexual women. So there's some data from certain Western countries, for instance, in the report on domestic violence experiences of bisexual women, which is much higher than even lesbian women and straight women. But there is virtually no data that's specific to bisexual women and the issues that they face. So this report attempts to look at the ways in which women who have sex with women, however they may self-identify, the issues that they face. But I think what it highlights as well is that even more, what we need to be doing is disaggregating our research and data. So rather than just looking at LGBTIQ, however you define it, as a sort of homogeneous community, as global researchers, as lawyers, as social justice advocates, we need to be looking at the particular issues faced by the different constituent members. Because without that data and without that information, we won't be addressing those particular issues. We'll sort of just be looking at it as a homogeneous group, and inevitably that means that the more visible people and the more visible issues are the ones that get addressed and the other ones are rendered invisible. So that's why our report is titled Breaking the Silence. So we're trying to at least raise that one of the key things that needs to be done is more research, and in particular disaggregated research.
Taya Brown from Human Dignity Trust in the UK there. We've got a bit more from Taya coming up as well. This idea of, I guess, there's not enough data around is quite interesting. And again, I think of all the research and studies that are done, either looking at gay men or lesbians or the LGBT community as one, but then again, the bisexual element just isn't being drawn out, and therefore it's not talked about. I mean, even, you know, from a media point of view, there's always studies and things that are sent to us and we sort of look at it and bring some of those to light, like tonight's report, but very, very few in the bisexual space.
It's a curious one. I think, in one sense, the reason behind that is obviously the LGBT community still isn't on par with the heterosexual community, so they're already behind. And then if you throw in the other element of bisexuality where that's not accepted by either camp, you know, that's like a double whammy. So I guess, you know, why would people want to speak up if they're in that camp, if they can already see how the LGBT community is treated as a whole? It's not really going to encourage someone that's lower down the pecking order to stick their neck out, is it?
Now, listener Paul has, he's pinned it in one. It's the damn penal code, the British strike again. Thank you, Paul. The other thing that really came across was this, I'm trying to apply logic here and I know it doesn't work, but I'll go for it anyway. This equality, countries trying to equalise sodomy laws. So trying to equalise discrimination.
It's amazing, isn't it? So instead of saying, well, we don't have any discriminatory laws against lesbians, we do have them
let's
against,
make some.
Yeah, we do have them against
because
gay
that
men.
Will be non-discriminatory.
Exactly. So instead of saying, well, let's get rid of these discriminatory laws against gay men, let's, you know, ramp it up and extend them to women. How
so
great
what
is
we're
that?
Saying is we're not going to discriminate with regards to gender when we're talking about homosexuality, but we will discriminate against homosexuality.
Well, we'll discriminate equally. I think that's more the ironic.
Yeah, so the whole of homosexuality gets covered by a law that's equal so that men and women are treated...
It's perverse, isn't it? I mean...
They could have gone the other way, you know. They could have gone, well, women are illegal, let's just fix up the bit for men. And then, you know, they could have gone the other way.
That's right.
And then that would have been equal.
This is happening in the parliaments and the courts. A Botswana court found that the gross indecency law, which was based on male homosexuality, didn't apply to women, therefore it was discriminatory, and therefore they made the law gender neutral. That was their solution.
They could have repealed the law.
Just saying.
Just saying.
Solomon Islands is another one. They have a male gross indecency law, which was deemed discriminatory since women were not criminalised, and they therefore removed the word male.
So this is a good example of where equality is not always better.
Indeed. In some ways, it's taking things backwards. The economic, I guess the things outside the law are really intriguing as well.
Cultural
and economic things. The way economics is used to control women in these scenarios, either by forcing them into a family situation where they have to look after a family or not being able to get jobs, therefore not being able to earn money, therefore not being able to move away. All those sorts of things are just another layer on top of this.
Their hands are tied. Like, they have to engage in some sort of relationship, whether it's a real one or a sham one, in essence, just to survive in that society. You know, that's just one part of it. And then the double whammy is being both female and also if you're homosexual or you're bisexual, then you're kind of dealing with multiple layers of issues. You kind of set back on each of those. Each of those on their own is significant. So when you add it up together, it's, not a pretty picture.
Just doors slamming in your face left, right and centre. I mean, just making it harder for women in every possible way.
And even from the LGBT community point of view, so that ability to, I guess, the gay community has been quite strong in advocating for these changes. But what they're finding is because there's limited bisexual representation at the leader level of the LGBT community, those voices aren't being heard. They're not being articulated fully.
So is this a case of, you know, what's always been the case is, you know, until people sort of publicly...
come out and speak up?
Yeah, that, you know, it's not going to get addressed. It's not going to get better.
Indeed. And we've got more with Taya Braun from Human Dignity Trust talking all the criminalisation of lesbian and bisexual women. You're on World Wide Wave.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Dzień dobry. I am Kylie from Poland. It's great to have a place like Joy 94.9, where we can talk about trans issues from across the globe on a worldwide wave.
Taya Braun has been explaining their latest report into the rights of lesbian and bisexual women. We asked Taya what action she hoped would come from the release of this report.
I think for us as an organization, we're committed to making sure that in our work, we use this information. And when, for instance, we're looking at the need for decriminalization of homosexuality, we're making sure that women's experiences and women's voices are included in the legal analysis and the legal discussion. So it's partly certainly informing our work. And also encouraging others within the global movement for LGBT rights to do similarly. And it's sometimes difficult. It's easier to look at the broad spectrum and to focus on the issues on which there is research. So all of us, I think, need to make an effort when we're discussing these issues, whether it's in media, such as yourself, in research reports. It's harder often to get at those issues facing the less visible members of the community. So we all have to be making a specific effort. Researchers in certain countries, they will much more easily come across gay men. They will tend to be the ones that are in the NGOs dealing with these issues. They will be more visible in the public space. So it takes an extra effort for researchers to make sure that when they're interviewing people, when they're collecting data, that they are finding the other members of the community, the lesbian, bisexual, and trans people, and also bisexual men. I mean, even when we're talking about men, it tends to be focused on gay men. So we need to be looking at the ways that different people are affected by, whether it's the criminal laws or just persecution generally and discrimination and ostracization. So hopefully this report will be a kickstart for that. That's certainly what we hope.
The report is Breaking the Silence, Criminalisation of Lesbians and Bisexual Women and Its Impacts. We've been speaking with Taya Braun, the Legal Director of Human Dignity Trust. Thanks for joining us on World Wide Wave, Taya.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And it's just one of those topics that's not spoken enough about, which means it's good that it's talked about here. And I think it's also good that the LGBT community hears it as well, because I guess the one thing I'd like to tackle is the discrimination from within our community.
That's a really good point, Matt, that just the light bulb came on into my head just then. It's that, you know, it's a two-pronged thing. It's kind of having to speak to both the LGBTI community but also to the heterosexual one, and you can kind of take those on separately, if you will, and at least get parity somewhere, and, you know, get that sort of then the real strength of the LGBTI community so they actually feel integrated as part of that community, and then they can attack that as a community.
And not feeling that bisexual people have to justify themselves. I guess that's something that the gay community and the lesbian community have gone through in certainly from an Australian point of view, have gone through years prior, but now there seems to be this demand for bisexual people to prove themselves, prove their queerness, prove which side of the fence they're on, etc.
That's really curious, isn't it? Because you're like, hang on, didn't you guys just already do this, go through the pain, know what it's all about? Why would you inflict this on another community?
That's right. And probably a good time also to mention a new show as well that we'll get in and we'll have a bit of a chat to as well, Triple Bypass, which looks at bi-visibility. That's on tonight at 10. So another opportunity. It's, I guess, another way that Joy is trying to break down some of these barriers. And congratulations, too, to Human Dignity Trust, who do all their work for free, looking at laws, discriminatory laws for LGBT community around the world. So thank you to them. You are on World Wide Wave.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like World Wide Wave on Facebook now.
Another thing I just want to mention is the AFL Pride game this weekend.
The inaugural.
So this is the first time the AFL, as a national competition, has had a Pride match, and it's between Sydney Swans, who I support and love, and the St Kilda Saints, who are going to go down. And what's more, Joy is a really big part of this. So we've got a live broadcast from the game this Saturday night. It's not only going out on Joy 94.9, it's going out via the community radio network. So hundreds of stations around Australia
Community
network will hear the game, hear the behind-the-scenes stuff that's going on.
Because who's hosting?
Well, Chicks Talkin' Footy. So that's... And who else would you have host this? It's Wednesday night, 8:30, Chicks Talking Footy here on Joy. And they'll be doing behind the scenes. They've got features with some of the country's leading sports people, commentators, community leaders, and they will be calling the match as well. So you can get your tickets and go to the game at Etihad Stadium. If you can't be there, tune in to Joy 94.9 this Saturday night, and you'll get all the good bits around the AFL Pride match. And congratulations to AFL for finally, credit where credit's due.
Coming to the
party. Took a little while, but finally backing this project.
Now that's us for another night. Thanks to Taya Braun, the Legal Director at the Human Dignity Trust.
And you can find out about their work at humandignitytrust.org.
Thanks also for all the messages on Facebook. Hoffler, Penelope, Trish, James, Emma, and a heap more who have joined or interacted with us on Facebook this past week. That's W3Joy on Facebook.
And Paul for the SMS. Thanks, Paul.
And our podcaster, Mark, and the lovely Robert at the front desk.
We'll catch you next week on the World Wide Wave.
Thank you for listening to the World Wide Wave podcast. We're always looking for interested guests and news tips. You can email us at worldwidewave@joy.org.au.
Australia's most amazing gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.